walls to cry out, "It's up to me and you." That story in the book of Luke, where he's walking and he's riding on his donkey coming into Jerusalem, and the Pharisees are telling him, "Tell all these people to stop yelling, tell all these people." And he said, "If these people stop praising me, the rocks and stones are going to cry out." Amen. We don't want that in this church, do we? Hallelujah. That's why we need to praise him. Song number one in your songbook, please sing along with us and just feel the words of this beautiful song as we take a closer walk with God. Let me tell you again, it's not about church, amen? It's not about an organization, is it? It's about you and who?
God.
You and God, amen? He saved who? Did he save the church? No, he saved you, amen? Hallelujah. Take that walk. Testimony today is we had a young fellow here last week who was with Mike and Debbie Shane, and he played the organ. He came up and he's just an incredible person, loves God, just incredible. We spent some time with him on Wednesday, and just fascinating to listen to him, his mind, how he remembers and the things that he can do. No, he doesn't give excuses for the things he can't do. He comes over the top and gets them done, amen? He doesn't say, "Woe is me." He doesn't say, "Oh, if God only." He says, "No, I can do all things," amen? And he does. He's just amazing. We loved him. He played our organ. And he made one phone call. He said he got all excited. And he called the organ... the society... Yes. About our organ. We found out when the organ is made. The Historical Society wants to come here, do a story on the organ, wants to take pictures, wants to put it in magazines. They're more excited, David, than you would be, because they found this organ and it is working. And we have somebody who plays it every Sunday. They want to come here because this one young man went up there and sat and played a couple of songs. Amen? Things have been put in motion that we could not have put in motion together. You understand what I'm saying? How God works? You say, "Well, if I only talk to one person this week, that doesn't sound like much. But you talk to the right one person, amen? And the next thing you know, the ball is rolling downhill and things, you can't even hold it back. And you can't even keep up with it to do other things, amen? You get so excited. We talked in this church about doing things in the yard when I first got it. Well, we didn't have water and we didn't have this. And we talked about maybe doing that. And the next thing you know, some people said, you know what? I've heard a lot of talk. I'm going to go out and do it. Now we can't keep up with the yard, amen? We can't keep up with the beauty, the flowers that you are and Gladys and everybody put out there and you guys planted. David, all the work you did in the front, all the stuff you did over here. Everything is happening, amen? Got a hold of people and our church got painted, amen? There's new things. You got to get excited about. Are you excited? Because I'm excited, amen? And we're going to go forward. We can't stop now. Now we have to do. We got new folks coming all the time. We've painted the church. We got the yard outside. We've got the flowers growing. The cactus looks beautiful. We need to take care of what's inside this church. Amen. So when they come and they sit down and say, this is nice. Amen. I don't want them saying anything, but this is nice. I don't want them sitting down and forgetting they're in church saying, look at these cushions. I'm sorry, and I'll say this to you. There's nothing to argue about. I'm just saying to you, I would love to keep these. These are horsehair cushions. Are you with me? Worth a lot of money. I would love to. We all want to keep them, amen? But we can't because it will take months and months to get them cleaned, amen? And we don't have months and months anymore, amen? We had four people who came to this church 3 weeks ago. They haven't been back. I don't know why they haven't come back. I'm thankful that they were here. Amen. But maybe they came and looked around and said, look at those cushions. Look at this place. They painted the outside, but the inside's still a mess. Amen. And it doesn't take much. And you say, well, we got to spend the money. But God says, I'll supply your needs. Amen. It's a investment. You repainted the church. People in the yard are painted. People want to come here dressed. They got nice clothes on. They want to sit down and feel good about it. Amen. You know, it's your church. Say that again. It's your church. It's not my church. I don't own it. I don't have the money. It's not about me. Amen. It's about God. And this is your church. If you're satisfied with the way it is, then it's okay. Amen. But I don't think you are. And I don't think it's just the cushions. I think that you're excited about what God is doing. Amen. And you're coming every Sunday because you say, I'm excited. I want something new. I want to leave here again more excited than last week. Amen. That's what church is all about. Amen. If you go to church every Sunday because you're afraid you're going to go to hell, you've already missed the boat. Amen. The boat's out there sailing away and you're standing on the shore saying, well, I'm not going to hell because I go to church. Everybody else is getting rewards and blessed and moving and getting God in their lives and you're standing there because you're afraid to get off the island. Amen. Hallelujah. This church is on fire and I want to get you fired up even more. Amen. I don't want a lukewarm church. I don't want a church satisfied with that. If we've done all this, let's not stop now. Amen. Because it will help us grow. And guess what? When we get 20 more people, guess what? The offering will be 20 more people stronger. Amen. And then we get 25 more people. And all of a sudden, everything that we invested comes back to us. Amen. And people are proud to be in this church. Amen. People walk in and say, oh, this is beautiful. Instead of stopping at the beauty and saying, oh, that's not so good. Hallelujah. Are you with me? We're a team, amen? It's how fired up you want to get. We're in this together, amen? There's no separation. There's no disagreement. We're all together. And now this one fella came, and the Historical Society is coming to Second Congregational. They're coming here because they want to see the organ. They want to take pictures. They want to tell us about it, when it was made. They want to know about the wood and the stops and how it works, and they're fascinated. They're excited about your church, amen? If they come here and they don't see you excited about the church, what do you think they're going to say? Nothing. That's what they'll say. Amen. Hallelujah. That's my testimony. We can change things. Amen. We can change things every day with our lives, with people's lives, and with this church. Amen. I'm just proud to be a servant of the Lord. Are you proud with me? Are you proud? Hallelujah. See, God changes things. Miracles. I believe in miracles. Anybody believe in miracles beside me? Hallelujah. I believe in them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this church stands for you, on fire for you, to be a light for you, Lord, to bring people in here to learn about you, not about the pastor, not about the things that we say, Lord, but the things that you say. that they leave here hungry for more, Lord, because when they came, they were searching. Now that they found something, let them find it more and more and more, Lord. Let them see that this walk is real. Let them see that they can have what other people have. Jesus said, so your joy may be full. Jesus said, so your joy may be full. I said, where else would you go? Where else would you go that somebody would say, so your joy may be full? Right here. You hear that? So your joy may be full. Jesus wants that for you. Who wouldn't want that for you? Jesus wants that for you. Hallelujah. Draw closer to that, he said, so your joy may be full. We're going to have times of trouble. We're going to have times of sadness. But he said, I'll carry you through those so your joy may be full. You might get depressed. You might get worried. Jesus said, no. I'll give you a good word that'll cure your anxiety. That'll cure you from the inside out. The healing from the inside out. Not from the medicine from without to in, but inside out. So that when you go somewhere, the medicine can help you. Your body is already healing. Hallelujah. He wants to keep you so your joy may be full. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Hallelujah. So your joy may be full. Thank you, Lord. We see the troubles in this world, Lord, and we pray about them. We lift up those, Lord, that are in authority, Lord, and we lift up those who have to go and face this trouble. Face this trouble, Lord. We ask you to be with them and their families and their loved ones, Lord. We know that. We know that, Lord. But we pray more so, Lord, that the world find you, that more people find you, so their joy may be full, because when your joy is full, you never want to hurt anybody. You never want to take from anybody. You never want to steal from anybody, because your joy is full. There's no need for more. God fills that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning. Thank you. Brother Jerry lives in New London. Jerry, raise your hand up. He lives in New London. He took a train this morning from New London to New Haven, got on his bicycle to ride from New Haven to Derby. Brother Deacon Jim picked him up halfway to, all the way to West, because he wanted to be in this church today with you. Amen? That's a sacrifice. Amen? That's dedication. He could have said, no, I want to go to a church in New London, but he wants to be with his sister, whose love and just carrying him, we're carrying each other, amen? And I'm not lifting Jerry up to praise him, I'm just letting you know that people, when they want to do something and they're dedicated, their heart, I wanted you to know where his heart was, amen? That he did that today, hallelujah. Welcome, Brother Jerry. Thank you, church. Jerry, I know that bell over there is not for you, okay? They ring that for us each Sunday. Y'all relax. Stay with me. Now please, no opinions. Don't think about what I'm reading here until I get to the point and you'll understand, okay? Don't get excited. Don't think I'm trying to... I just want to read some news that I just heard. Hallelujah. In such a spirit, on my part and yours, we face our common difficulties. Amen? If you agree with what I'm saying, just say amen sometimes so I know that you're all with me. They concern, thank God, only material things. Values have shrunken to fantastic levels. Amen? Taxes have risen. Again, an amen? Our ability to pay has fallen. Government of all kinds is faced by serious curtailment of income. The means of exchange are frozen in the currents of trade. The withered leaves of of industrial enterprise lie on every side. Farmers find no markets for their produce. Listen to this. The savings of many years and thousands of families are gone. More important, a host of unemployed citizens face the grim problem of existence, and an equally great number toil with little return. Only a foolish optimist can deny the dark realities of this moment. Hallelujah. Happiness lies not in the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement. Amen? In achievement, in the thrill of creative effort. The joy and moral stimulation of work no longer must be forgotten in the mad chase of evanescent profits. These dark days will be worth all they cost us if they teach us that our true destiny is not to be ministered unto, but to minister to ourselves and to our fellow man. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. That, my friends, was 80 years ago. Franklin Roosevelt. But you would have said today that some of that was today. Amen? 80 years ago, that was before Pearl Harbor. The troubles that we've had, the changes in our country, amen? The changes in all our lives. That was 80 years ago. Are you with me? Because things change. Amen? We've had ups, we had downs. We've had wars. We've had people thinking this, and people saying they're going to do this, and people going to do that. Amen? But things have changed. Amen? That was 80 years ago. Just 80 years ago. Now I'm going to read you some more headlines. News. Are you with me? Please don't assume anything as I'm reading this. I'll get to the end and you'll understand. Hallelujah. The United States and the Soviet Union. Who are they? The United States and the Soviet Union are mounting large-scale investigations to determine why the Arctic climate is becoming more frigid. Why parts of the Arctic Sea have recently become ominously thicker, and whether the extent of that ice cover contributes to the onset of the ice ages. July 18, 1970, New York Times. I got one more. You're going to be with me now, okay? Just stay with me. Please don't start thinking, well, I know where he's going. No, you don't. Trust me. An international team of specialists. Who are they? International. Are they from the United States? No, they're what are they? Specialists. Have concluded. What have they done? Hallelujah. From 8 indexes of climate. How many? An international team of specialists has concluded from 8 indexes of climate that there is no end in sight to the cooling trend of the last 30 years, at least in the northern hemisphere. They've concluded. Are you with me? Scientists, smarter than me, big brilliant men, amen, have concluded that there's no end in sight to the cooling trend. January 5th, 1978. Yeah. Somebody came out and said that today, they'd be crazy. Amen. 1978. The scientists have concluded in 1978. Now, don't think anything. Let me get to where I'm going. There's a lot of change in that, isn't there? In today's world, there's a lot of different people saying a lot of different things about climate change, amen? But people about taxes, about how to run the country, the things that we're in trouble for. There are changes, amen? You all admit that, right? I mean, that was only, 40 years ago, 45 years ago? Our country is how old? 238 years old. How old is the world? Scientists, smarter than me, David. Smarter than me, right? I admit it, amen? Are trying to calculate the age of our Earth. Now, what year is this? 2014, amen? So it's 2000, the year of our Lord, 2014. They're saying that the Earth is billions of years old, okay? Billions. I don't argue, but stay with me now. They say it's billions, not millions. Now, with 2,000 years that we've been since Jesus, amen? And they say billions. And now, how many thousand? It takes 100,000, 100,000s to make a million, amen? So, and then they tell us, and they're smart, I get it, but then they tell us, give or take a few billion years, amen? No, don't, I'm not putting them down. Stay with me, please, don't get ahead of me. That's all well and good, amen? They're not sure. Within a few billion years, how old our earth is, amen? And that's what they're saying, and that's what they believe. But let me tell you, and here we go, amen? In the beginning was the Word. That hasn't changed, has it? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it was the beginning, everything in the beginning with God. All the changes I have read to you in the last 50 years, all just in the last 50 years, how people have changed their mind, scientists and climatologists and all their doctors and their people saying and discoveries. But this book has not changed one iota in the thousands and thousands of years. Amen? Are you with me? Are you with me? Now you're hitting me. Hallelujah. This book here has been challenged. Challenged by people a lot smarter than me, Dave. Scientists have challenged it. Doctors have, people have got into this book. Theologians, people who are atheists have gotten into this book to prove it what? To prove this book wrong. They've tried. And each time they've tried, guess what's happened? They've failed, amen? They failed. This book. You heard 50 years ago how different the scientists concluded, amen? But they can't conclude that this is wrong. With each new discovery, we find that it was already written where? Where, Karen? In here, in this book, with each new discovery. Remember that old story? I love this one. I know I told you before about the scientists who told God, we don't need you anymore. We know how to create life now. We've got it all figured out. We don't need you. You can go back and do whatever you're doing. And God said, really? And the scientist said, yeah. You want me to show you how I can create life like you did? And he said, God says, sure. And the scientist reached down and picked up some dirt. And God said, wait a minute. Go get your own dirt. Amen? Are you with me? With each new discovery, they search for answers. Amen? I get it. I'm glad that they search for answers in this book. Amen? Scientists, doctors, space, sea, the age of our planet. We just said that. They're not quite sure how old it is, by a few billion years. Okay. Hallelujah. This book, Mary, not written by a man. Not written by one man in search of God, amen? It's not written by another man in search of nirvana, perfection. It's written by many men who God called. Say that with me. God called. Written by many men through many years, hundreds and thousands of years, amen? We know that for a fact, amen? That is thousands of years old, written by many men in many different places, yet it all comes together in what? One book, amen? Written by, hallelujah, men. So this, brothers and sisters, this, with all the changes I read to you, and I'm glad you enjoyed that, I enjoyed that, has not changed one iota, amen? Nothing in here has changed. Nothing in here has been proved wrong. In fact, it's been proven right. Amen? Are you with me? Hallelujah. How many want good success? It's in here. You want to prosper. Amen? You want health. You want friends with you. You want to unite your family. Amen? You want your children to be happy. You want your grandchildren to be happy. Amen? It's in here for them. Amen? If you don't tell it to them, who's going to tell it to them? Amen? Who's going to tell them that God is real and He's for you? It's that pure. It's that simple. That word you said, I forgot, Michael, the Wednesday, but at the minutia of all the other stuff. Hallelujah. How many remember reading in Genesis how He created the world? Amen? Do you realize when you read that, it's perfect? Perfect. Perfect. God did it perfect. How would Moses know? My God, how would he know that except somebody like God would tell him? Listen just to the creation. If you all know anything about science, and just listen, perfect order. First, the light. Had to have light. Couldn't have anything else without light. Second, the sky and the heaven. He made all the heavens. And then He made the land and the sea. He separated the land, amen, and the sea. And then He made vegetation. You see the order? You see how it's happening? It's not it just didn't explode into oak trees and elm trees, amen? He made it in that order. And after He made the land and He made the sea and the vegetation, then He made the sun and the moon and the stars for seasons, amen? For seasons. The sun for heat, amen? The moon for the gravity, amen? The perfect place for to put the moon, amen? If he put it another 500,000 miles away, we wouldn't be here, amen? Everything in perfection. Say that with me. It's perfection. And then, after he did all that, he made the fish and the birds and the animals. We're still not here yet, amen? You see what he did for us? First, he put the fish and the animals, amen? He made them first. And then, when everything else was ready, for who? He made us, amen? Hallelujah. Everything in perfection. Science can't deny it, amen? Darwin or whoever you want to talk about can say he has a different idea. Fine, show me your idea of perfection, amen? This book you have, if you don't look through it sometimes, God is saying, well, I can't help you. It's in there for you, amen? Yeah, we're going to get a new car on Tuesday. You bet you believe we're going to look at the manual to learn all the wonderful things it does, amen? And you know, I don't think you have to be in the Bible 7 days a week, 10 hours a day. But sometimes when you're feeling down, you open up the gospel. Let Matthew, open up to Luke, John. Let Peter talk to you. Because they're talking to you. Let Paul talk to you. Read what he talked to one church, and you say, he's talking to me, amen? You'll start reading the Bible, and you'll start saying, is he talking about me? Because this is what I'm going through. Are you with me? Okay, say, Pastor, can you give me some more? Are you ready? Here's some more. Stay with me now, please. The wind goes towards the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls around continually and comes again on its circuit. That's in Ecclesiastics, amen? You know who wrote that? Solomon wrote that. He's talking about meteorological, the laws of the weather, amen? Solomon, it's in here. You see, men discovered that later. Are you with me? They discovered that already. But if they had just read there, then they'd start listening. The wind travels in a current, in a circuit. Amen? Solomon told us that thousands of years ago. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm never going to get tired of teaching you this. Paul said the same thing. Sometimes it might seem tedious saying certain things over and over again, but I'll never tire of it until you're on fire with it. Amen? Until you grab it, until the revelation is inside of you, not because of me, but because of you, you spread the word of God. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to this sound. Listen to what David told us. Not that David, aren't you? You have made him, us, to have dominion over the works of your hand. God made who? Us, to have dominion over the works. He said, you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. They pass through the paths of the sea. David wrote that, Psalm 8. He said, they pass through the paths of the sea. When you read that, does that, but maybe you're not a scientist. Maybe you're not an oceanographer. Because Matthew Murray, anybody ever heard of Matthew Murray? And he lived about 100 years ago, 1806 to 1873. He's considered the father of oceanography. He was reading the Bible one day back then, and he read that. He said, through the paths of the sea. And he said, I'm going to go and look and discover. And he discovered the warm and cold continental currents in the ocean. God's word, amen? He saw it in there and he said, you know what? I'm going to go see for myself, amen? And he found that through the word of God, amen? Hallelujah. Now you read in Leviticus about leprosy. You all know what leprosy is. Was a very contagious disease. Very, very dangerous, contagious disease. And Leviticus, guess what the Bible teaches us to do? Quarantine. You're seeing it today, amen? Stuff going on that's a really disease, right? And the Bible taught us back thousands, 2,800 years ago, about quarantine. to separate those that are sick from those that are well, amen, and keep them separated until they're well. And if their clothes become infected, it tells them to burn their clothes, amen. The Bible tells us that. We didn't need to learn that. We could have saved millions of lives through the years learning about quarantine. But there it was in Leviticus, amen. Right there, Moses wrote that for us, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The world hated you. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before you. It hated you. He who hates me hates my Father also. When you start talking about God to people and they start laughing at you and mocking you, Jesus is saying, yeah, they laughed at me. They mocked me too. Because they're going to hate you because of my Father. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said this. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming. Now listen to this, brothers and sisters. The time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God. People are going to commit murder saying they're doing it unto God. Jesus is telling us this. And he said, these things I have told you that when they come, you may remember that I told you of them. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's in this book. This book, amen. This book that man has tried to just trash for thousands of years, amen. Over and over and over again. They have gone on a journey to simply prove this book wrong. Your book, your God, amen. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. What does he have? And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. What will they do? They will live because of Jesus. And Jesus said, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. How long? These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, brothers and sisters, now listen to this, because people pull away from God. You know that's true? People go to church and stop going to church. People get disillusioned with the Lord. Amen. Don't be surprised at that. People get mad at God. Listen. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? But then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before. And Jesus said, listen, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Hallelujah. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Hallelujah. See, they were thinking that they have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. He said, no, his flesh is this book. Amen. The word of life. Amen. The Bible. That's his flesh. That's the bread. Amen. Hallelujah. The blood is the sacrifice that he gave. When we drink the wine, it's just to acknowledge what he did for us. Amen. Every single time you do it, you acknowledge what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. Because the new promise was on that cross. Amen. It started from that cross. Amen. But the bread was his food. He's saying, I'm giving you this food, not like the manna, but see, they saw in the natural. Amen. They saw in the natural. And some people who were even with him walked away. So when you see people walking away, you can understand that some people, Judy, were with him and they still walked away. Amen. Hallelujah. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "So I will say to you today, do you also want to go away?" Hallelujah. But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Where else are you going to go? You got victory right here. Amen? Put it right here. Are you with me? Where else are you going to go? Why would you go somewhere else? Why? Where else? Peter said, where else would we go? You are the promise of eternal life. How many want that? I do. You want to think about tomorrow, being back with your parents and your loved ones that you loved, amen? Eternity with the Lord, amen? It starts here, amen? He said that. Where else would I go? I ask you today, where else would you go? What else would teach you that your joy may be full? And let me close with this. Jesus is talking to you, Gene, Walter. Gene's talking to you, Art. Jesus, Sue. She's got a word, Karen. He says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us." Doesn't say you have to go somewhere, amen. Doesn't say you have to do anything, amen. Doesn't say you have to earn your way, amen. It says you have to believe in him through your word. Do you love him, Pat? Do you love him? Jim, do you love him? Through your word. Believe in your word, amen. Get the revelation. The more that God does, the God in your life, and I know Gary's not here today, he's celebrating. Gary's up in New Hampshire. He got something that's near impossible, and we're going to laugh at it. He got a moose permit, non-resident, to hunt moose in New Hampshire, which is near impossible. God blessed him with it. And this weekend, he's up there scouting, and I'm so happy for his spirit, amen. Today, just the joy that he has, amen. And he's saying that was a gift from God, amen. Because he had the revelation. He had what he had need, and God answered his need, and inside his spirit, the revelation, amen, came up. He realized that God is real, amen, that God was inside of him. Peter needed that revelation, amen. God tells Peter later, "God, my Father, revealed to you who I am," amen. My Father revealed it to you. When you feel it in your heart, when you see him in your life every day, it's a revelation. To who? Not a church, not your pastor. This is between you and who? Yeah. Hallelujah. That your joy may be full. Amen. This book never changes. Doesn't have to, does it? Give him praise and glory, church. You want to read something powerful at home? Read the book of Job, chapter 38. It's where God answers Job. It's a powerful answer. "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man," God said, "and I will question you, and you shall answer me." And then God asked, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have any understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were the foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and with the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? God said, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. And God said, have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and the wicked to be shaken out of it? It takes on the form like clay under a seal and stands out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld and the upraised arm is broken. And he says this in Job 38:16. A very interesting question that science thousands of years later discovered. But here in Job, God tells him, have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Right there, two lines in the Bible, two short lines in the book of Job. God reveals, God the Father, that there are springs in the bottom of the seas. Man discovered that thousands of years later in astonishment. But God said they were there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where is the way to the dwelling of light and darkness? Where is its place? That you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths of its home. Do you know it because you were born then, or because the number of your days is great? Hallelujah. Whew. This book is beautiful. Beautiful, but it's with Jesus that it makes perfect us the new promise. Amen. The new promise, the new covenant. Jesus on that cross. He said, I shed my blood for the remission of your sins. He said, I sit at the right hand of my Father and see no sin in you when you call on my name. Jesus. Say that with me, church. Jesus. And he simply said, do this in remembrance of him in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus says, can you lift your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover you? And listen to what he says. He said, can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Do you understand that today we do that? If you have a friend in Japan right now or somewhere in the Orient, somewhere on the other side of the world, and you pick up your cell phone and open it up and you push a button, amen, you talk to that person on the other side of the world, amen? There's no hesitation, amen? He's saying that in the Bible, that we could do that. Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are, we do that. Amen? He spoke that. God the Father spoke that. Right in the Bible, thousands of years before we understood technology and we understood the speed of light, amen, and the speed of sound, amen, right here in this book. Science cannot deny this book. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah.